There have been two processes that have been instrumental to me in the creation of my poetry and in its development over the years. The first is translation. I first realized the benefits of translation and the power when I was studying classical Greek and reading the New Testament in Greek, and I realized that the Book of John, for instance, expressing very complex ideas about the creation of the universe and the nature of the universe, was written in Koine Greek, the language of slaves, a very stunted and rudimentary language. And in order to write these things down, they had to invent terms with a language that really wasn't up to the task. But in so doing, they created a whole way of thinking in a language. My next step was to translate Iamblichus, a 3rd century Syrian. I was translating the 18th century English, which was pretty bad Latin, really, but it was Thomas Taylor's translation of Iamblichus's The Mysteries. And I wanted to read this book, but it was inscrutable, so I thought, okay, I'll take it apart line by line and see what's really there. I discovered wonders. The project took me, 5 years, and at the end of it, I had transformed the way I looked at poetry. I was living in the Okanagan Valley of British Columbia, a farming area, and I realized that, any poetry that I'd come across at university, any use of language, all kinds of modernist and postmodernist approaches to language really didn't cut it there on the orchards where we didn't have art galleries, museums, universities, or any tradition of arts or education, period. But what we did have was an oral culture consisting of Harold and his friends and other people like us sitting on the tailgates of their pickups at 10 in the morning or on the bottom steps of their ladders out in the orchards and talking and discussing the issues of the day. And that was our art. And so I resolved, after this process of things, to recreate my poetry to reflect the kind of language that I was using every day. Not to diminish it, but to lift that language up, like John did with Koine Greek, and to celebrate what it could do and to use it to express complicated terms in the language that we actually use so that they actually are the specific terms that we talk about. It's come to the point now where I consider translation to be absolutely primary. The second thing that's led me to write poetry the way I do today is reading. I started doing a lot of public readings in 1998 when my children were old enough that they didn't need my constant care and attention, and I was able to go away and read. I've given, I think it must be about 300 readings since then. And after all of those times, it's come to me that a book is not finished, a poem even is not finished, until I stand in front of an audience and read it to them. That interpersonal contact is absolutely essential. Poetry is a physical act, after all. It's music we make with our bodies. The mind dances along, but we are dancing. And we are touching, and even if it is through sound, it is a body-to-body communication, and it's only complete when we do touch. And that's where translation has led me, and where public readings have led me, into a celebration of sound, into a celebration of our union in the moment of speaking and listening and what we make of that.